Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023. And today on the show, super excited to have Raf. Raf is the CEO of Fintech Week London. And today we're going to be chatting about everything that's going to be happening in 2023, the challenges, the opportunities. So super excited, Raf, to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me. I'm equally excited.
Awesome. And yeah, before we jump into today's episode, today's show, can you just give the folks out there, the listeners out there, a bit of an insight as to, you know, yourself, your role at Fintech Week London, and also what you guys are up to?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually, Fintech Week London is part of a media company. We own a few different brands. We have the Fintech Times, which is our newspaper, the Fintech Power 50, which is a yearly accelerator and branding program for the 40 most promising fintech companies and the 10 most influential people in the sector. And then we have Fintech Week London. So I'm actually the chief commercial officer for the group, but positioned as the CEO for Fintech Week London because we want each brand to have their own identity, their own people behind it. And I joined the company about 2 years ago, 2.5 years already, time flies, to start this project. Before that, I ran a fintech hub in Belgium called Beehive. Been in the fintech sector for about 5 years and have a past in software development, IT management, product design. So there's quite the route I took to finally land in the fintech industry, really focusing on events and sales.
Awesome. Let's sort of jump into today's discussion, chatting about the challenges, but also, as you know, lots of different opportunities out there in the fintech space right now. And you know, to kick it off, let's start at the challenges. And what do you see as we head into 2023? What do you see as the top three challenges for fintechs out there right now?
I think the biggest challenge for the moment probably isn't actually only for the fintech sector, but is in a global scale, right? There's a lot going on. If you look at the macroeconomic level, there's a slowdown, there's interest rates going up, there's inflation, there's a lot of people talking about a recession. And most of the time, if you start talking about a recession, it's sort of it'll come true because you're talking about it and it impacts the markets anyway. So whether you want it or not, it'll happen. So I think that's the biggest challenge, right? At the moment, there's an overall economic slowdown. There's insecurity on the market. So that has its impact on fintech companies. You can see that because bigger companies are laying off people. They're restructuring, reorganizing, wanting to be more efficient. So I think that should be that is the biggest challenge according to me.
Yeah.
I think secondly, specifically to fintech, you're looking at the professionalization of the sector. You're looking at the regulator who's getting better and better idea of what fintech is and what's happening. And that does have a bit of an effect. You see fintech companies that were very agile, very quick, and changed very rapidly with the demand of their customer. And sometimes maybe because the regulatory framework wasn't there yet, they took a few steps too fast. So you see here and there, the regulators getting involved with a few fintech companies and trying to sort that out. Obviously, that narrative by people who maybe are less enthusiastic about fintech will be taken as, oh, look at them, there's fraud going on, and we all have to go back to the good old days of the securities and the 300 processes and forms that were in the financial sector. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do think it's important that security, anti-fraud, and regulation are adapted to the sector. So I think that's another challenge. And then the last one for the moment is something we're looking into as well, is the slowdown you see in investments and capital. Again, if you look on the negative side, people will say, oh, there's another bubble. I don't really believe that. But I do think that there were probably companies that were overvaluated, that were looked at with too much enthusiasm, that it was a sort of FOMO moment of VC funds thinking, oh, if the big ones are doing it, we need to do it. People jumping in with a lot of capital without really thinking about actual returns. So you do see that it's fintech companies have to make the money that they have last longer. They have to make the money that they want to find. It's harder to find. So it'll be a lot more difficult for them to raise new funds. And we're actually looking into that. We're doing a review together with a few companies, industry players, to see what happened here. Is there something we can do as a sector to change that?
I like what you're saying, man. You know, talking to a few execs over the last few weeks, there also seems to be one of the things that seems to be coming up is the lack of talent. I don't know if this has come across your desk, but there's a worry that there is job creation, but specifically in the fintech industry, the talent is hard to come up. In different across different skill sets, developers, management, operations, etc. There just seems to be a lack of maybe a lack of willingness to also do some things, right? So I don't know if you guys have seen that at all. I don't know if you have a comment to that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. I definitely wouldn't say there's a lack of talent. If you think on a global scale, there's a lot of talented people. There's people with the right skills. There's people that have maybe not the exact skills you're looking for, but the capacity to be trained in those skills. So maybe there's a lack of ready-to-go talent right around your corner. Maybe. I also, there's a lot of talk always about the war on talent, right? It's the war on talent, and you need to get them when they come out to university, and you need to be the cool company or they won't join you. I think that's a bit outdated. I wouldn't say there's a war on talent. I would say there's a struggle to keep talent. And why is that? I think because of a lot of talented people are getting more and more educated about what it is they're doing, but also about what they want in their life. And I kind of feel like the new generation of people that are working aren't just going to do what they do because it then gets them money and gets them a house. But they actually want to work for a company that has a good societal impact. They want to work for a company that has environmental issues that they're trying to solve or that is sustainable. So I think it's more of a struggle to retain talent because it's also easier to switch jobs. A lot is digital. It's very easy to move from one company to another. So if you look at the job market now, people aren't going to stay in a company they're not happy. So keeping your talent happy, I think, is very important. And that doesn't really work with saying, oh, well, but we've got a cool office and we've got snacks all day, because people realize that snacks all day is because, yeah, they'll give you breakfast, lunch and dinner. So you work more hours and you stay in the office more hours. So people are getting the reality. I think what we need is we need to look at education. We need to look at how can we reschool people that are in the current job and we know that within 5 years that job won't exist anymore. And can we use the skills that they have and use them for the good? How can we look at people who have gaps in their careers? For instance, women who took time off because their children in the picture. During that time that they're raising these children, there's a lot of skills that are being applied that are immediately applicable to the work field. So instead of saying, oh, well, this person has a gap in their resume, let's not bother. Look at, oh, but actually, what did they do in this gap? And aren't those skills that we can transfer to the work market? So I think if we adapt the education of young people and look at reschooling people that have other abilities, then that lack of talent really wouldn't be there.
Yeah, totally with you on that.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now. Unlock hidden profit zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
also, I guess, as you look at different technologies that are becoming available to us and different types of products that are becoming available to us, there's also a question in my head around what the current market, so what's the most compelling technology in the current market, and definitely heading towards 2023. We've seen something happening in crypto this year. We've also seen over the last few years the rise of AI. I think that's still a test case that's been tested and really understood. And there's other things out there, cloud native, the likes of Mambu and 5degrees are doing a great job in that space. But what do you think are some of the most compelling technology offerings out there as we head into 2023?
It's a very difficult question because it depends on who you're asking. Are you asking the visionary, the early adopter, the person who thinks about, well, we need to talk about what's happening, what's really hip, and all the buzzwords, Web3 and decentralization and TradFi. And so I think the thing is, if you look at the fintech and the financial services sector, there are things that we have been talking about for years, maybe even for 10 years or more, like open banking. And I still think it isn't there yet. It isn't where it's supposed to be. So that's still something I want to keep my eye on. And I think it's very interesting. If you look at the complete opposite of that, there's Web3 and the metaverse. There's things happening there already that are very interesting that you need to keep an eye on and that are technologies that you would want to follow. But to see them do something realistic in the financial services sector or where they're ingrained and embedded in every day-to-day life, that's so far away. So it could be a very broad spectrum. I think what I want to be looking at next year is definitely all the new things like Web3 and the metaverse, but more in a where's the future going to go to kind of way. And then there's actual practical applications. And then you mentioned crypto. I think crypto is a good example of that. Crypto was the metaverse years ago, where it was this hip thing. And only, I mean, I remember I was working for a Salesforce partner, a consultancy firm, and all the developers were talking about crypto. And all us consultants were on the table thinking about all these people, what are they talking about? We have no idea. It sounds very dodgy. And then fast forward 5 years, and all of a sudden, crypto, stablecoin, central bank digital currency is going to become a thing. So I think lesson learned there, listen more to developers and jump on the bandwagon early, because I think they definitely did a good job. I probably got in too late. But I think crypto is going to be one. Cloud native is very interesting. But I think what's interesting is if you look at fintech companies, cloud native is going to be a thing. It's a thing, right? They're cloud native companies. They're digital first. It's easy. But how do you merge that with the traditional financial services sector? Banks who have legacy systems, how are they going to become cloud native? And is it realistic or not? Or is there going to be a sort of hybrid model where all these best of solutions are going to be combined into something that's sustainable and livable for them? I would want to keep an eye out on everything that is banking as a service and platformization. I think integrated journeys and going to a future where the customer and the consumer again is the central point versus these are our services, this is what we offer and you can take them. Where as a consumer, the bar is being set very high now for, I want this to be one seamless journey. I don't want to use different apps. I don't want to be confronted with what your technology is. I mean, all this talk about technology was cool for a while, right? Uber came, Tesla came, and then all the digital challenger banks came, and everybody was into, ooh, what are they using and what's happening and how is this? And all of Europe, well, at least the sector, was talking about PSD2 until your ears would bleed. The consumer doesn't care. Yeah. They don't care. When they hear open banking, they think it's about what times are the banks open, and they do complain that there's less time that they can go to the bank. But actually thinking about, oh, if I buy something on an app and there will be a credit check automatically, or I can access my bank account through something, a third party, and get the balance and one seamless journey. And then maybe adding that AI that you talked about that gives you intelligence and says, oh, we see you're doing a lot of this, but maybe with your profile, it would be more interesting if you do this, or this product is interesting for you, or you're in this space of your life, so you need a different insurance package or whatever. All of that, when it finally gets to what everybody's talking about and promising, because big data and AI, it's all fancy words, but if you don't have the back behind it, if you can't back it up, it's all whistles and bells and smoke and mirrors. But if it actually gets to a point where we want it to be, that will be something that I think is going to be the future, where the consumer is central again.
I like what you're saying there about making certain that in all of the techs that are likely to hit the ground running next year, having the consumer as a central focus, the central point, is vital to what? It's vital to actually adoption, right? And it's not just adoption by the select few that are the crowd that live in financial services, but broader than that, right? We need to look at the people that go to, you know, digital channels, people that are, you know, the retailers, people outside of the financial service circle to really start and trigger off, you know, mass adoption, even if it's in crypto, AI, et cetera. And that's where it becomes fun, because then you start integrating with different layers, different businesses, different ecosystems. And I know we were chatting beforehand around partnerships, and that's when, you know, partnerships, real true partnerships across skills, across industries start really materializing in. FinTech starts that evolution that we all hoping will sort of spring into life in 2023, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think through partnerships, the consumer will be better served. There's a bit of maybe, but that's me being a bit cautious, I think. There's maybe a bit of a danger with this, putting the consumer central. I think FinTech kind of started as, oh, let's react. It was disruptive, a word that was used again so many times. Let's react and let's do something that the consumer actually needs and wants. I do see that there's solutions now that actually might even be not to the benefit of the consumers again. I think buy now, pay later, it can be a great thing, can be a very dangerous thing. Yeah. So I do see this move of putting the consumer central to maybe again going a bit too far and using the consumer. So I'd want to stay in that kind of sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And I think through partnerships, that's something that can happen, because if you have one company that just does what they're doing, then that's something that might be seen as a risk for the consumer. But there's multiple companies combined, and if there's traditional finance and new finance companies going to combine their forces, then I think you'll get to a point where not only is the consumer central, but if you include the regulator, the consumer is also protected.
Yeah, brilliant. And what about if we look at some of the hottest, let's say, we've spoken about tech, but what about themes or trends that are coming out of 2022? And we need to, as leaders out there in FinTech, we need to be on top of, we need to be part of the conversation rather than reacting to the conversation. What do you think are some of those themes or trends that we really need to be aware of and, you know, be front and center of that conversation?
But two trends that I really like, actually, that are going to be front and center, hopefully, are still sustainability. I think sustainability is a big thing, is something that's being talked about and that needs to be talked about more. And maybe even more than talked about, needs to be taken into action. I think FinTech for Good, something that we've been discussing for 2 years, Innovate Finance just did a summit on it. A lot of my friends wrote books on it now. So I think using FinTech as a force for good is something that we can definitely stay alert of, looking at diversion and inclusion as ways to not only make your product offering more inclusive, but also be an inclusive company and be a diverse company. So those themes for me are on the forefront now and will be next year. Obviously, the investment angle of the sector is something that's going to stay on the forefront. I still think there's going to be conversations about open banking, banking as a service, centralization versus decentralization, embedded finance, if you want to put all of those together into one big bulk, is going to be still there. And then obviously Web3 is going to be a big discussion next year as well. Web3 encompassing crypto, encompassing digital currencies, encompassing maybe even the metaverse. That's a trend that's definitely going to stay, and even something we're going to discuss still next year on stage for FinTech Week London as well.
Nice, nice. And you know, as we wrap up today's episode, today's show, how can folks out there get in touch with you and the guys at FinTech Week London?
Oh, there's multiple ways of getting in touch with me. They can reach out to you.
Yeah,
but definitely they can. They can have a look at our LinkedIn page, which is FinTech Week London, or my LinkedIn, Rav de Kempen, which is a nice name to have, but a difficult name for people outside of Belgium to spell. So I'm sure you'll put the links in there. And basically everything runs through our website anyway. So if you go to fintechweek.london, that's where you'll find all the information and get into contact with us and hopefully join us either as attendee or as partners for the event in June next year.
Brilliant. Thanks for coming on the show today. And yeah, looking forward to 2023. And folks out there, tune in next week to listen to the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.